National and state governments around the world have been trying out various incentives and subsidies to promote clean, renewable energy. But the global economic slowdown has crimped the ability of many leaders to dole out public funds. Yet the desire to achieve energy independence and cut greenhouse pollution remains strong. That brings us to a green energy incentive that relies not on tax money, but rather on ratepayer funds. It was pioneered in continental Europe and is now getting a hard look in many countries around the world, including the United States. Most of the electricity Americans use is produced by coal, natural gas, or nuclear generation. Some mountainous regions benefit from hydropower. Less than 4% of the nation's electricity demand is met with renewable sources like solar and wind power. Hundreds of electric utility companies are trying to burnish their green credentials by offering customers the option of supporting alternative energy. Here in the Seattle area, my utility's green power program regularly invites me to pay $4 to $10 extra per month to switch to clean energy. Most of the money would help pay for the utility's new wind farms. Nationwide, the percentage of customers who've signed up for these voluntary programs is tiny. Washington State Representative John McCoy says renewable energy needs a bigger push.
We're looking to get off fossil fuel generation, whatever it might be, and that we need to bring these newer technologies in. We need to move on.
According to McCoy, the best way to get more solar, wind, and tidal power on the grid is to offer renewable energy generators a government guarantee. Effectively, the state would say, if you build it, the local utility must buy the juice. And not only that, the utility must agree to a long-term contract that covers generation costs plus a decent profit. Solar developer Stanley Florek of Seattle says the fixed premium purchase price gives alternative energy suppliers certainty they'll recover the high costs they pay up front.
You get that investment paid back with a modest return guaranteed on top, and as a result, you may be foolish not to have a solar system or a wind farm in your neighborhood because that property is sitting there not making money for your neighborhood.
This incentive policy is most commonly called a feed-in tariff. Variations of it have passed recently in Vermont, California, and Oregon. A congressman from the state of Washington is preparing national legislation. Supporters are trying to duplicate successes in Europe, especially Germany.
Since we have introduced the feed-in tariff, we have seen a strong increase in the production of power from wind, from biomass, and also from solar power. And also, we have seen hundreds of thousands of jobs growing in Germany.
In Hamburg, Germany, State Secretary for the Environment Christian Maas says his country has a 10-year track record with which to judge the success of the policy. He acknowledges that Germans are paying a price for their renewable energy. Solar power in particular is much more expensive than other sources of electricity.
But if you look at the price and if you look at the benefit and if you compare that, it's worth it. So I could only recommend from the German experience that it's a good, that it's something to copy from.
Utilities are allowed to pass on their higher energy acquisition costs to consumers. And Hamburg resident Patrick Ulmer says Germans routinely complain about high energy prices.
Basically, what the consumer noticed is prices had gone up, and that's obviously not a good thing. But I don't think that many people made that link to the feed-in tariffs because of solar energy.
As a savvy ratepayer, Ulmer watched with trepidation last year. European incentive programs threatened to spin out of control. Solar module prices had dropped, decreasing producers' costs, while the rates utilities had to pay to buy that power stayed high. Investors flooded in to lock in high profits. Last summer, Spain abruptly capped how many systems could sign up. In Germany this winter, the governing Christian Democrats proposed steep rate cuts to try to balance the market. Shares in solar energy companies promptly plummeted worldwide. In the U.S., electric utilities lead the opposition to copying this rate structure and mandated purchases of alternative power. Dave Warren of the Washington Public Utility District Association notes electricity demand fell during the recession and may stay down thanks to conservation.
So we'd be forced to buy power that we don't need and idle existing generation or have hydro that is very cost effective, very cheap actually, being replaced by very expensive power.
And Warren adds it's ratepayers, not taxpayers, who shoulder the cost of this renewable energy incentive.
Any rate increases are tough to swallow.
Especially right now, he says. In Germany, the above-market price paid to wind and solar farm owners adds about 2 to 5 euros to the average household's monthly power bill. Dave Warren offered a wide range for how much a similar policy might cost American consumers. He estimates rates in his home state could go up by as little as 0.03% to as much as 15%, depending on how many customers a utility company has to spread the costs across. For VOA News, I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia, Washington.